Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. Thursday nighter tonight, Rams at home against the Raiders. And the Leafs are in action tonight. We're seeing up on TSN right now. They're walking in. Mitch Marner, 20 games in a row with a point. The Leafs have points in 12 straight games. Darren Dreger, a TSN hockey insider in studio. Pretty impressive streaking, man. The Leafs are streaking, Dregs.
Playing really well.
They are playing well. I mean, it's...
And top to bottom, too, right? So when you throw the Matt Murray display the other night against the Dallas Stars, a pretty good Dallas, too
yeah.
by
oh,
the way,
yeah.
right? It's hard to find a lot of fault. And for me, what's been most impressive through, God, how many games have they played through adversity, be it the goalie injuries, right?
The D.
Or now on defense. You know, you're talking about needle-moving players. Morgan Riley and TJ Brody is back now, but they played a good stretch without him, and obviously Jake Muzzin. And they found a way to overcome that. But the one thing that always bothers me, and it doesn't matter, I have no skin in this game, but you get this from Leaf fans, Jonas, I'm sure you do, so do you, Brian. There's something about this season that fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs don't want to take seriously. You know, they keep saying, yeah, but, let's see it in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, Marner's, you know, got 20 straight, yeah, but, let's see it in the playoffs and all
I know,
that.
And
I'm
too
like,
bad. It's
yeah,
too bad.
You can only make the same comparison to the other 31 teams in the National Hockey League. They don't start the Stanley Cup fight in game one of the regular season. I mean, you got to qualify for the playoffs.
Yeah, but Dregs.
I just want to say.
Yeah, but like it is, you get it, right? Like, based on everything that's happened, I get that reaction. No, you.
Well, they're
like,
they're prisoners of their own history. They've created their history.
They had 115 like, points last year and lost in the first round.
Yeah,
very close, but like
their details on the losing. Here we are. They've won all these games,
so
and now we're going to do this.
It's your fault, Dregs.
But,
I
know. No one in Big Four history has lost 5 years in a row in a Game 7. No one in Big Four sports history has done what they've done. They've got the longest cup drought. They've got the longest playoff winning drought. Like, these are all records they own.
Yeah.
And Leaf fans... It's not like Leaf fans, it's not like a tropical fan base that comes and goes, and when you're bad, you're gone. When they were bad, the Leaf fans were still watching and following.
Yeah.
Like those awful years in 07, 08, 09, they were still getting a million people watching them, and they were selling out the building. So everyone's been along for the ride. So I understand why people are jaded or skeptical, but all you can do is evaluate what you see and what they've done. And so far, they're playing as well as any team in the league.
I mean, that win against the Dallas Stars, for me, might be as complete a game as the team has played all year in many ways, right? You know, you had the big boys firing. We've talked about the goaltending. The defense was solid. Special teams, pretty good, all of that. And I happen to have, again, a high level of respect for the Dallas Stars. Now, without the theatrics of Matt Murray, I mean, Tyler Seguin looked as fired up as any player out
Murray
there.
Was unbelievable.
And he got shut down time after time. So, you know, we'll see how they can follow that up against a hungry team in the Los Angeles Kings. But all we can do is again, grade and analyze game by
That's
game,
right.
player by player.
Well, and you got TJ Brody returning tonight. They went 9-0-3 without him in the lineup. And he's going to come back on a pair with Connor Timmins.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, what do you make of that decision by Sheldon Keefe?
I was texted, I won't say who, as that game was unfolding first period the other night. And Connor Timmins fell down about for the fourth time.
Right.
And kudos to Craig Simpson on the broadcast. But he's like, I mean, that's at least three or four. And he fell down once in warm-ups.
In warm-up,
like, can
fell.
Somebody please fix his skate?
Yeah.
And then when he got that figured out, he settled in. We just don't know enough about Connor Timmins. But the one thing that I did learn and have learned about the defense of the Toronto Maple Leafs is that the internal competition has made a difference, right? Timothy Liljegren, again, in that Dallas game, I thought was terrific. Rasmus Sandin is developing nicely, really, really good.
Yeah, he's been really good recently.
And what that's done now is taking a bit of heat off Kyle Dubas. You know, less and less we're talking about, oh, Toronto's got to do this on the back end, do that. Not to say that they don't have a need.
It's
there.
A really interesting conversation they as to what they
need.
Should do.
They have a need back there, but it's not an urgent one yet. So now you can be a little bit more patient.
Well, you know? I think the way I would phrase it is I don't think they have a regular season need at all. They have a playoff need.
That is the point.
Which is
and
very
I think
different.
They know that, Hayes. I think they know that there are almost two seasons. you need to build a defense for the regular season, but you also need to build sort of a different one.
It's size, generally.
It's size.
Like generally, the, so the bigger the defense, the better and the more effective in the playoffs.
More and more, though, I'm leaning to the side that believes that if, especially in defense, if you're making that trade, you try and make it as soon as possible. And I'm not talking about the next couple of weeks or a month here. I'm gauging from March 3rd, the trade deadline, backwards. Mm. Because those players need time to come together.
Like the Jake Muzzin trade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And so when I'm looking at potential fits, they're always the same. I think we have to get off the Jake Chychrun idea. Yeah. And maybe you do look at that rental market again, depending on what it looks like. And you look at Anaheim, we know what direction the Anaheim Ducks are going in. But, you know, could Kulikov help you? You know, you've got Klingberg there, but there'll be a buzz around him because he's a name. You know, I guess you have Kevin Shattenkirk, who's an expiring contract there.
Yeah, you got certain teams that have, they've determined who they are. Anaheim's done. Chicago's done. I think Columbus is done. I don't know if they'd want to admit it, but they're done. Yeah. Arizona's done. San Jose's done. Like, they're done.
Yeah.
They're out. And I think they have to have comment. They have to be aware of that. It's just a matter of when their GMs decide to make the deals.
Yeah, the guy I'd be looking at is the guy in Columbus, and that's Gavrikov.
Gavrikov, he kind of fits what they need.
For sure he does, but good luck, you know, again.
Because other teams are probably going to be calling too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're getting towards. Once you get past U.S. Thanksgiving, we're all 25, 26, 27 games into the year.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of figure out who you are at this point. And we know the Leafs are going to the playoffs, so we expect Dubas will be active. But there is a contingency within this fan base and within the media that covers the team that believes a forward would be more.
There are a lot of people who think
that. A lot of people. And an impact forward.
Mm.
Like, because also you look at those teams, Anaheim, Chicago comes to mind, Columbus, not so much Arizona. San Jose's got some firepower up front.
Yeah. Like, but are we looking at an expiring contract or are we looking at somebody with at least a little bit of
time? That's, I guess that.
Right.
Dubas historically probably would prefer some term, but he's been prone to make that move before.
Given the stakes of the season, you can't be choosing. Can you?
Whoever you think is the most impactful player now.
I think so.
Yeah.
But if it were up to you guys, what would you do? Forward or D? Because they don't. That's the other thing. Like, what assets do they have to trade? So you might have to say, like, do we want to use our best assets on a forward or a D? Mm-hmm. I guess it's price, too. Like, forwards, D tend to cost more than forwards, I think, right?
Normally, yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on the impact. Like that, it's a difficult thing to answer because if you're talking, you know, a solid number four defenseman with size, or you're talking a true impact top six forward, the impact top six forward probably brings you more value. Like if you're talking Patrick Kane, using him as an extreme example, Kane's a Hall of Fame game breaker.
Yep. Right.
That to me is more valuable than a guy who might be on your third pair. Clearly,
for sure.
But
I don't think if you're trading for a D, I think it has to be someone better than that, don't you think?
Well, how much better are you going to get? That's the question.
Then maybe what's the point?
Like if it's Kulikov or something like that, you got to be reasonable in terms of what you're getting.
It's got to be somebody that pushes Justin Hall down.
I agree with that.
Right, but I don't know that Kulikov does that.
No, I just throw that name out there. Like,
Gavrikov, maybe.
But he's physical and stuff. Gavrikov, but is he,
I don't know. Is he substantially better than Justin Hall?
I guess you'd have to ask Dubas that. Like, that's ultimately the guy that's going to make that determination.
Yeah.
Is how Kyle feels about it. And he should be emboldened by what he's seen. Like, these guys have been holding up incredibly well.
But you know what will happen if they trade really for well. D is suddenly one of those guys we're talking about won't be playing.
Yeah.
Which is.
Well, they're going to get Morgan Rielly back in what, mid January, possibly?
Hopefully, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be an addition. It's almost like a free trade.
Yeah.
If he's out for 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider in studio. You were reporting yesterday, I believe it was, Shane Wright's on his way to the Canadian.
Moncton, yeah.
So what does that mean, you think, for his NHL future?
It's a good question. I mean, he's called up from the American Hockey League and scores against the Montreal Canadiens. How fitting is that?
That was good.
You know, and in that game, he still only played, what, 11 minutes? So it's, look, Dave Haxtell, the head coach of the Seattle Kraken, is keenly aware of where they're at in the Western Conference standings. And his job is to coach that team to his best ability to win every night. right? And he obviously doesn't think that Shane Wright is ready to be a full-time NHL player. That's the reason he was healthy scratched five consecutive games, was sent on the conditioning stint to the American Hockey League. And now this is all part of the bigger plan. What we don't know is, to your point, what happens after the World Juniors. It doesn't seem, and I am a strong, sorry, we're all strong advocates for the Canadian Hockey League feeder system.
Sure.
Right? But I also understand and believe there comes a time where you do have to recognize what's the next development phase and whether or not that's going to help you going back. It's not helping Shane Wright to go back to Kingston and the Ontario Hockey League. It's just, it's
what not. If he doesn't it's dominate not. The World Juniors? Do you think that factors in? Like, what if he goes out there and he's just okay? But in all honesty, that could be a possibility. He hasn't played. He's barely played. I guess last year he played in the OHL, but COVID hit him hard.
Yeah,
like every other player his age group. But he's barely played this year.
It would be disappointing if he dominate is a strong word, because there's some good players that are going back.
That should be the expectation, though, should it not? Like fourth overall pick.
It has to be the expectation.
Yes,
he's got to be a difference maker.
Right.
And I believe he will be. Again, you know, playing in the American Hockey League and scoring in 4 out of 5 games is nothing to sneeze.
That's what I'm saying. Generally speaking, that guy goes to the World Juniors and has 10 points in 7 games or
he
whatever.
Needs that. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I'm curious, like, what ends up happening with him. I mean, that
Team Canada should be stacked.
Ecstatic.
Here,
that
Arizona let Dylan Guenther go.
Right.
They're going to have a real deep team.
Yeah, it should. It's going to be a fun tournament. You think Colorado, are they legitimately concerned right now? Like they're not just losing; they're getting beat up, and they got no one to play.
Five of their top six forwards are out of the lineup; they're injured, and the latest being Nathan MacKinnon, who's out, according to the Colorado Avalanche, upwards of a month. That's the problem, though, with the system, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, everybody has to deal with it. Toronto, has had to deal with it. Long-term injury is good because it gives you a little bit of wiggle room and you can manage. It's great if that player is done for the year, because then you can actually use that money. Well, that's not the case in Colorado. So I'm sometimes often amused by social media, and you say, oh, the Colorado Avalanche, with all these injuries, they've got to go out and, you know, Horvat would be a great fit, and mm-hmm. Brock Besser now is on the block. Why wouldn't Colorado grab it? Well, they're getting these players back.
Eventually they're coming back.
It's fake space, basically.
It's fake space.
Yeah.
So I'm not as concerned about, Colorado is just so deep, and that defense is just so good. Their goaltending seems to be adequate. You know, let's see how they do, you know, as you get closer to the midpoint and then the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Colorado's going to be strong again. I do.
Well, I think if they're healthy, they should be considered possibly a cup favorite. But you look at it, as of today, they're on the outside looking in for the playoffs.
There's been some wild stories, though, right?
Really?
Seattle,
for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on with the New York Rangers? I mean, they're bouncing all over the place. There's all kinds of speculation around that team. And
well, I look at Alberta, too, man. Like, what are the chances Dan Vladar, Darth Vladar, and Stuart Skinner are legitimately in contention for a number one role? Like, being labeled the number... Like, I thought Markstrom was going last night. And there's Vladar, and it's a win against a top team.
Well.
It played in Minnesota. Yeah. Like, that's a playoff team in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that those, like, Campbell's different because it's been a mess since day one. He's never been comfortable. But he's got 5 years at $5 million. He better get comfortable.
Yeah.
And Markstrom, I mean, that's the king of the county out there. And Daryl's just not even looking at him right now.
I mean, it's weird to me. It is. I feel like Calgary's going to find their way. And Jacob Markstrom's going to be a big part of that. He's just that good. He's not right now, but historically he's been that good. Edmonton knew that Stu Skinner was real close. They hoped that he'd be the 1A, right? Not just... a backup, but a legit
like a tandem option.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they see him as the goalie of the future. They did not think he was going to be their starting.
But the goalie of the future, they just signed Campbell.
Yeah,
I guess like a tandem goalie of the future kind of.
I don't. I know very little about goaltending. I mean, I think we're all in the same boat. We can see when a bad goal is a bad goal. We get that. I was told earlier this week, Jack Campbell hasn't changed his gear in 5 years.
Wow.
Blows my mind. And if you look, and Jack Campbell's not a small dude, man. Like, he's a big guy. What is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, he's bigger than you think.
You know, you look at Stu Skinner and you look at Jack Campbell in the same net, Skinner looks way bigger than Jack Campbell. So they're rectifying that. That's He's getting new gear.
Yeah, that's a tough superstition, man. Like, if it starts to go south, that superstition, to your point, I'm guessing Ken Holland's like, that was fun, but you better upgrade, man, quickly.
Dregs, can I ask you, speaking of speculation, what do you think will happen with Taves and Kane?
Well, I think that Kane still wants to chase the cup. I don't know that the same applies to Jonathan Taves, and that's not an indictment on his competitive
spirit. No, he's won three cups, right?
And look, I mean, you know, the aspect of family comes into play. These guys aren't moving unless they want to move. It's that simple because of their contract protection. I think that there'll be interest in Jonathan Taves. He's played a lot better this year than I think most of us were expecting, right? I mean, there was a time not long ago where you wondered if he was done because of the mystery illness and all of that. Mm-hmm. Patty Kane,
still a rock star.
He still looks like a star, 100%, but absolutely, a borderline superstar. I it's going to be fascinating to me because I think that there will be bidding wars is too harsh because how many teams are going to blow their brains out to acquire Patrick Kane? And even though you don't have a salary cap in the playoffs, well, you do from March 3rd till the end of the
race. 10.5
So I look at Los Angeles, you know, They're kind of all over the map there a little bit, the LA Kings, you know, a team that we're going to see here tonight. They thought that they were going to be better, but they're still okay. But Rob Blake knows that window is closing rapidly in LA with Anze Kopitar and Jonathan Quick and everything they've got going there. I think he'd like to add either Patty Kane, or if he can't get Kane, then maybe another good
player. That'd be interesting, yeah. It seemed like the Rangers were connected to Kane, but now
they have been.
They're not even in the playoffs right now, so I mean, they kind of got to figure it out.
What does it cost, you guys think, to trade for Kane?
Doesn't it matter? Don't you have to consider if Chicago will eat half the contract, 25%?
Part of it.
Like, they probably have to.
But that costs you extra, right?
Like, 100%. Or if you're brokering and you're bringing a third party in, that costs you as well.
Throw them something.
You know, again, you have to historically look at, you know, what did the Leafs end up giving for Nick Foligno?
A first.
You know, so. Yeah.
Oh, it starts with a first.
It starts automatically with a first and
go from there.
Prospects from there. And if you look deeply, you don't have to look that deep into the Los Angeles Kings organization. They've got some really good young talent that is just on the outside and can't find their way in yet. So
that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kane, that's a bidding war in my opinion, but he's got a full no trade. He can pick kind of where he goes.
Yeah.
Taves will not be the same market because his game is not where it was. But he's got the same rights, right? He can waive if he wants. I wonder if his hometown would be enticing to him. Think Winnipeg would come calling on Jonathan Taves?
I just don't know how they do it, Brian. Look, again, they're in a similar situation with long-term injury. I know they've got Nikolaj Ehlers out, and Mason Appleton, who should replace Nikolaj Ehlers, is out.
They've been good, man. They're going to the playoffs, I think.
Sneaky good.
Sneaky good in Winnipeg.
How about, by the way, Mark Scheifele without sticking it to Paul Maurice? Kind of did.
We played that clip yesterday. That's how I read it. That's how I read it.
Spicy.
Basically, we weren't on the best of terms, and see you later, Paul. Yeah. Like, we're happy with Bonus.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that Rick Bonus has done is, you know, he's eradicated the old demons, right? He went into that dressing room. You know, if Blake Wheeler wearing the C was the elephant in the room, boom, gone.
See you later.
You know, but he did it in a tactful way, in a respectful way, and he's got Blake Wheeler playing as well as Blake Wheeler's played in a long, long time, among many others in Winnipeg. So Winnipeg is likely going to do something. I just don't think they can swing that high.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, in studio. So Tage Thompson, did he get the Ray and Dregs boost? Is that what happened here? He was on the podcast? And
nobody. So I this is a shout-out. Jonas would know Nicole Hendricks, who's a PR person for the Buffalo Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
Ray and I are texting back and forth as that game is going on last night. You watching that? Yeah, watching this. Like, you know, and he's like, we should try and get this guy on the podcast. And I'm thinking, for next week? And he goes, no, for tomorrow. Flip a text. Yeah, let me check. Like, this was immediately after post-game.
Yeah.
That's when you know you got pulled, Dregs.
Well, I don't know if it was that. Maybe it's the family connection between Donnie Granato and Ray that kind of greased the wheel.
Possibly could be it.
Man, what a good kid.
What a game that was last night, too, wasn't it? Like, four goals in the first period.
Yeah.
Because I sent a text to Arad. I'm like, see if you can get Tage Thompson. We got nixed on that one. But four goals in the first, five goals overall, 6 points. He's up to, what, 20 in the season? 21 in the season?
I think.
What a player, man.
Comparisons are just off the charts right now, too, fairly so. You know, Ferraro's one, not that we've talked about Marner, but, you know, teeing up a Leafs game, I guess we can. He compares Mitch Marner to Pavel Datsyuk. And,
interesting.
The ability, both offensively and defensively. And he made a similar comparison, and others have, too, with Tage Thompson and Mario Lemieux.
He's a big right shot, right?
Well, because,
with skill.
You know, it's just, and it's just the size of the man, and, you know, part of it, but the skill is obviously there. And then the other comparison, and this one I get, nobody will compare Tage Thompson to Alex Ovechkin, but that one-timer is pretty sweet, man, and it is a flat-out rocket. You think of the one-timers in the league, Ovechkin, Stamkos, and now Tage Thompson's on that list and pretty high up.
Pretty good. Yeah, we were talking about it, like, you know, Matthews had 13 goals on the season, and he's tied for 20th in the league. McDavid paused two last night. He's at 24. Jason Robertson's got 23. Thompson's got 21. Yeah. Horvat's got 20.
6 points will move you up the ladder pretty quick.
No kidding, isn't it?
One night.
I mean, that's... And even McDavid... Like, Ovi pots two empty netters.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of feels like where this season's going. Like, you better get some freebies every once in a while if you want to keep up.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about trade, and you probably got to go here, but I stirred it up a little bit in the Edmonton market on Tuesday. Just, you know, we know that the Oilers are among one of those teams that are looking for defense. Mm-hmm. I look at that Oilers team and I see a window contractually narrowing again in the next 3 years. So their hay is in the next 3 years with McDavid and Draisaitl, right, primarily.
Yep.
So why wouldn't you, if you know you need have a need on defense, swing for that fence and inquire on Erik Karlsson? How do you make it work? Well, again, it's all about, okay, well, San Jose, you got to keep 30, 40%. What's it going to cost? You know, Kenny Holland's throwing out draft picks and, mm-hmm. you know, decent players and all that. Okay, but if you can't land Karlsson, then you go back down the list and you work your way down from there. And mm-hmm. there was borderline outrage in that market from the mere suggestion that this should be considered. Why wouldn't you consider? Like, just because the cap has killed creativity in the National Hockey League, doesn't mean you don't try.
Yeah.
Like, try.
So was the pushback because of his contract and everything like that?
Well, the pushback was media, right? You know, who are just like, oh, it's not going to happen. How could that possibly happen?
Well, it's such a shame.
Not? Why want to make it happen?
Why wouldn't you try?
It's such a shame that, like, this is, you know, this is what you get in a hard cap system, and it sucks. Where Karlsson is having a remarkable season, and you can't start there with the conversation. Like, you can't have a conversation saying, if we bring this guy in, he's going to immediately make us better. You have to think, well, the cap hit and the amount of years.
Like, even the other guys there, Hayes, like, I was looking at their roster, like, Couture could help a lot of teams.
Yes.
I think he has 4 more years after this. Oh. No one's training for that, are they? No.
I don't know, man. Couture seems like a guy.
He's 35.
Like a playoff player.
He is.
Yeah.
He's shown that, but that's a huge contract.
It's a big commitment. Yeah.
You're right.
I don't know. It's too bad. Like, it really is too bad. And I don't know how to eradicate that from the league. Like,
the cap is going nowhere.
Yeah.
But we touched on insider trading tonight. You know, at least, so the Players Association is doing its tour, right? And they're meeting with clubs. And they're asking players as part of this tour, are you interested in bumping the salary cap as early as next year by $2 or $3 million? Now, the player debt won't probably be paid off at the end of this year, but they could do it without impacting escrow, where the cap could go up $2-3 million next year, and then $2-3 million or more the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So if in 2 years from now that salary cap has been bumped by $6-7 million, all right, things are starting to get a little bit easier.
Do you think the players would accept a lower term limit on contracts? Like, I think the owners would want that. I think they'd wasn't that the hill Bill Daly was going to die on?
Yeah.
That they wanted a limit of, like, 5 years.
That's how it is in the NBA, and there's trades all the time.
All the time, because, like, if you're signing a free agent, you can only give them 4 years.
Yeah.
In the NBA. You can give your own guy 5.
And then if you make a mistake, you're not, like, killed forever.
It's not, like, that's a big part of the problem is, like, like, it's Karlsson, you're like, man, he signed an 8-year deal. Like, look at Vancouver. If they wanted to trade JT Miller, how could you do that? You just gave him effectively an 8-year deal.
Yeah.
Like, 7-year extension, but he still got this year on the deal.
Yeah.
Like, well, what a huge commitment.
You know, could contract length be considered in a change of the collective bargaining agreement? I guess, but it's age old, right? Okay, we're doing that. What are you giving up?
Yeah, the owners would have to give up something. Yeah. And
something big, right?
That could be. Look, I mean, this blows my mind, but players' pension is paid by the players.
Oh, wow.
Paid by the players, not the owners.
Really? Oh.
And that, trust me,
that's
when I tell
significant
you,
amount of
you
money.
You know, when Don Fear's replacement is brought in, when you get into that next round, that has to be near the top of the list of things we need to change.
No kidding.
Good luck.
So. Wow. All right, Dregs, we'll leave it there. Good seeing you, man. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, you bet, guys.
There he is, Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Leafs Kings tonight on TSN 4, and you can hear it right here on TSN Radio the Thursday night. Rams at home against the Raiders. I'm on the clock with that pick. I'll get to it next. All right, legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. And tune in to News Talk 1010's Gift of Giving for Sick Kids, December 15th from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donation will save the lives of our most vulnerable children. Rams, Raiders, I'm seeing video of Baker Mayfield out on the field warming up.
Does he have that bandana?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
The bandana made its way from Carolina onto waivers to L.A., and it's there, and he's ready to go. And Ian Rappaport's tweeting out that he's saying he thinks we're going to see some Baker tonight. Now, that I don't know, is it a combo quarterback scenario?
Platoon?
A platoon? How often does that happen? I'm not really familiar with that happening too often. But if Wolford can't go, or if he gets out there and he realizes he's just not capable of producing, I guess we might see Baker Mayfield tonight. So
I was going to tell you, like, I was thinking, like, you got to pick the Raiders for this game. But then I was thinking about it a little bit, and it's like, this is exactly the kind of game that they would come in and just
exactly
blow.
This is a ridiculous game to gamble on. Yeah. Let me clarify
don't,
that.
Don't pick it.
I'm doing it because it's mandatory.
Yeah.
I'm up against Luke's brothers, and I'm three back in the win column, and I got to get going here. And this is my game. I mean, that's just the way it goes. We roll it over. That means they're going to have the 1 o'clock game and the Sunday night, or all of the 4 o'clock game. We'll make those picks tomorrow. I have to make a pick. And as of now, you look at our standings. I'm 17-19 on the season. Luke's brothers are 20-15-2. The two pushes are basically losses, though. So they're effectively 20-17 for all intents and purposes. And they've made one more pick than I have. And I'm going to tie that up tonight. And I intend on picking a winner. But do you know how difficult it is to get to that point mentally where a 5-7 team on a short week on the road is laying 6.5 points and it feels like the right play? Because the Rams don't know who's playing quarterback tonight. They have no weapons. Tony Boselli joined us last hour. He said they are known for making big plays. Big plays get them out of jams. They don't have big play players right now. Right? Like they're down their top two wide receivers. Cooper Kupp was the definition of a big play player, and he's not available for them. Aaron Donald, big play player, not available for them. There's going to be a lot of Raiders fans there. The Raiders have been a lot better recently. I'm talking myself into it. I'm going to go with Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm laying 6.5 on the road on a short week on a team that's 5-7. It's ridiculous, but I'm doing it. Thank you. Lock it in. I'm taking Vegas.
Wasn't LA kind of frisky last week? I can't remember who they played, but I think they were
Seattle, and they were hanging around.
That's what it was.
Yes. They ended up losing, I believe, by a touchdown, though.
I don't trust.
I don't like it either. Believe me, I hate this pick. I hate this pick. Because you're right. This is a classic example.
Yeah. You're like, there's no way the Raiders are losing to this team.
And the Rams will show up. They'll score first, and then they'll hang on. They may lose, but they'll lose by a field goal.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking myself into the Rams. But forget it. It's done. I don't care. This game's a really tough game to cap, though. It's a really tough game to cap. Vegas is kind of like, Vegas might be telling you they think the Raiders are going to roll because of everything I said. It's like, well, you got to take Rams getting plus points at home against a bad Raiders team. Like, it's almost like the line is begging you to take the Rams.
You.
They're saying you got to take the Rams, right? Like, in the books, I think might be thinking Raiders big. So, I don't know. I've talked myself into it. I'm on Derek Carr, Josh McDaniels, and basically I'm betting against the idea that Baker Mayfield is going to play tonight. So, there you go. All right? Lock it in, Raiders, -6.5 on the road. We were talking about the Raptors last night, and I saw a lot of people tweeting because they stagger their prices for tickets, right, based on who you're playing. Lakers are like a premium game.
Oh, but then the guys don't play.
But then they don't play, and then all of a sudden it's like you just bought tickets to go see a D-League team play.
That would really suck if you looked ahead in advance. Let's say you're a Laker fan in Toronto, and you're like, man, one time the Lakers come, I want to see Bron. Might, like, getting, he's not in the last year, but he's getting towards the end.
Towards the end.
Pay a boatload.
Like, there's legitimately a chance he doesn't play in Toronto ever again. Because
no, he's going to come back next year.
But he may not play in that game. Like, my point is, we haven't seen the schedule. What if it's a back-to-back next year? That happens a lot with West Coast teams coming to the East. They generally, you know, it'll be Detroit-Toronto next year. Or Cleveland-Toronto again. Or the Knicks in Toronto. Like, if it's Knicks on a Wednesday, Toronto on a Thursday, he's playing at the Garden.
Yeah, you're right.
And then if that happens, he's probably not playing in Toronto.
Maybe there should be like a little waiver where you get a refund of like something. If the guy
it's just never going to happen. It's just never going to happen. It's very disappointing if you're a fan, though. Like, you've got to go see your favorite team win a ball game. Like, if you're a Raptor fan, assuming you're a Raptor fan and you want to see them play a good opponent.
What if you're a Laker fan?
Well, then you're screwed. But you still get to see the Lakers play. If you're a true fan.
Sort of.
But if you're a true fan, yes, you want LeBron and Davis and even Patrick Beverley, but you still got to see the Lakers, right?
I guess you saw the uniform. It's actually like a problem for the NBA with all the injuries and the rest stuff that they're having.
It's a mess.
I don't know what you do.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. Festchuk's point is one that I can get behind, is you have to start mandating a certain amount of games played to win awards and to become an all-star. So if you want to be a first-team all-star, second-team all-star, third-team all-star, you got to play 90% of the games.
That's too high.
Okay, 80%. But look at you. 90% is too high.
That's a lot.
But then how are you going to rectify the issue? If it's 80%, that's like 20 games, 15 games. Like, if it's 80%, then a player could still qualify and basically never play a back-to-back all year.
I'm okay with that.
But I don't think it's rectifying the issue is the point.
Yeah.
You're still getting too many scenarios like last night where, like, LeBron, you can't tell me his ankle flared up between Cleveland and Toronto. I don't buy it for a second. That was just a scheduled night off. It was a back-to-back. He was back home in Cleveland, and he wasn't going to play. What can you do to stop that? Like, I think Festchuk's onto something. If you don't want to be included in first-team All-Stars, second-team, all that, which activates Supermax contracts...
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Then...
All right.
Sorry. And hey, if you get injured, so be it. You know? Like, and you can't have any wiggle room. Where it's like...
hard?
You have to be, because guys are just going to fake it. They're going to say, oh, ankle. How can you determine if it's a real ankle or if it's not an ankle issue? You got to be hard-nosed. And guess what? If that means 20 of your 30 best players don't qualify, so be it. See you later. Because I'll guarantee you guys will say, I got to play. If you're talking millions and millions of dollars in a Supermax contract, you're talking the prestige of being first team, second team, going to the All-Star game, winning the MVP. Guys are going to have to play. I think that's the way. That's the way around it. Because I think they're going to contract the amount of games they play. Eventually, I think the NBA will go the other way, because their TV deal is so lucrative that they'll justify not having the same amount of money at the gate. I think it's possible.
Like 72, 75?
Yeah, something like 72, 65.
But then don't you think guys will just be playing 50?
Absolutely. I don't think that will rectify the issue of guys not playing, because they'll just say, whatever. Like, I play 80%, so you tell me how many games we play. If we play 10, I play 8. If we play 100, I play 80.
And yet, Hayes, like, I don't think it's the worst thing for the athletes and for the games in some ways. You know what I mean? Like,
it's bad for the games.
No, but I mean, when we saw during that the pandemic years, how good were those NBA playoffs? Unbelievable. No travel, shorter season. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's money.
But
right?
Travel is just, you can't get around it.
I know.
Like, travel, there's nothing you can do. Like, eventually technology will continue to evolve to the point where...
Or even just hologram?
I don't know. Hologram may be far-fetched, but, like, aerodynamics and stuff. Like, at some point, you're going to have, I think, jets going a lot faster, don't you? Like, I think at some point you can go from LA, from New York to LA in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, probably. But you're still getting on a plane. You're still, you know, like, it's still, the travel is still there.
Yeah.
The amount of time you're just sitting on the plane, I don't think matters. It's the fact that you got to get there, you got to get on the bus, get in late in the hotel.
Sleep is interrupted.
Sleep is an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get around all that. I mean, that's the nature of the beast in pro sports. You got to play the games. You know, like, I will credit the NBA. They've tried this, you know, go to a city, stay there, and play them twice routine. Like, they've been doing that for a couple of years now.
Either.
I don't love it either.
I hate
watching
the
they're
same
trying
game.
Something.
Yeah.
You know, like, it happened back to back this year. The Raptors were in Miami. I think it was Saturday, Monday, yeah. Miami, and then they came home and played Philly like Wednesday, Friday. Philly
and
was
in town.
And I think
they did the same thing with Chicago at one point, too.
Yeah. I don't know. They're trying. They're basically trying to check off that trip. It's just, it's out, it's done, you don't have to worry about it. But as a result, if you're a ticket holder, you're like, do I want to go see the Sixers play twice in a row in the same building? Like, you're just not going to get an ideal solution. But there has to be something that happens here. I'm seeing online, Gary Klein of the LA Times. Mayfield is taking all of the snaps during warm-up. I love my Raiders pick. I think this Wolford, I don't think he's even on the field.
That little faith in Baker or
I have
the weapons that they don't have?
That little faith in Baker, period, but also in Baker on 48 hours. How much of the game plan can he possibly have?
Wouldn't they just pare the playbook down?
Sure, but at some point he's going to have to call an audible or do something. Like, he's got to rely on his offensive line. He's not going to have any, he's not in sync with anybody. How many times is he thrown to his wide receivers?
Yeah.
You know?
Today.
I think they're putting Baker Mayfield in a very tough spot. Very tough spot. All right, we'll come back with our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Try to get you more of an update on that. Leafs-Kings tonight right here on TSN Radio and up on TSN 4. We'll tee that up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Leafs-Kings coming up right here on TSN. You see this new Instagram account created by Pete Davidson and Eli Manning?
I did not.
So something's going on here with Pete Davidson and Eli Manning, where they're buddies. It's like a buddy cop thing. Something to do with the NFL. I wonder if there's got to be some like promotional angle to it. But they have launched like a co-Instagram account where they're both in charge. And it's like Pete_Eli10. That's their at. And like Julia Tesheri sent that to me today. And she had the same response I did. Like, how could you think of a more ridiculous duo than Pete Davidson and Eli Manning?
But I think Davidson's from New York.
Yes, he's a Staten Island guy. Maybe he was an Eli fan. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe. But what, like Eli bringing in Pete. Eli's married.
Sneaky funny, though.
Sneaky funny. Very funny.
I love the Manning cast.
I'm a fan, too. And I think Eli in particular has maybe been the star of that because he's so quick and he's so dry and he's very witty. But I think, like, if you're a married man right now and you're hanging with Pete Davidson, you got to have
trouble.
It possibly some trouble. Like, I would think there's a lot of women that would be like, I'm not sure I would need you around Pete.
That said, Eli?
I don't know. Listen, they got a little buddy cop thing going on, man. You got to check it out on Instagram. Fred VanVleet might even still follow them. Fred's got to get some new followers. He's got to follow new people. All right, so now I'm seeing all three quarterbacks are active tonight for the Rams. So I don't know who's going to start. I don't know who's playing.
Is there anything like with betting that you have to like?
No, if you're active, you're active. Absolutely. If they're all active, they're active. What you can't do is manipulate the injury report, which Wolford would have been on it. But once it's time to activate your roster, if they're all on it, that doesn't mean Wolford's going to play. But why would he be active tonight if he's not going to play?
I don't know. Dupe.
Yeah.
Vegas?
Not like the Raiders or Vegas?
Maybe both.
Yeah, like I go right to gambling. I'm like, man, that'd be wild if it was like Vegas, like the books. But it's probably actually Josh McDaniels and the Raiders. Speaking of which, the best bets are brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm on the Raiders +6.5. I don't know what's going on. Funny business with the quarterback. But that doesn't give me more confidence in the Rams. Like, I'm not sure they know who's going to throw the football for them tonight. I don't think they're going to get great quarterbacking whoever does play for them. They do not have a lot of breakout weaponry on offense. Defense, they're missing stars. Aaron Donald's out.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders, short week, 5-7, laying 6.5.
Talking yourself into it.
Yes. I'm on Auston Matthews over 3.5 shots on goal tonight. I think he dances tonight. I think he likes playing LA in particular. I think the Kings have given up a ton of goals. Their goaltending is, I don't know. Like, it has not, it's obviously subpar. Been a mess. It's been subpar. They've given up, I think, 105 goals on the season. Only two or three teams in the league have given up more. I think Matthews is going to be dancing. Focus is on Marner. TJ Brody coming back. Samsonov and Nett. Watch out for 34 tonight. Over 3.5 shots on goal. And this might surprise you based on what happened last night. Columbus got embarrassed at home. They embarrassed themselves at home. If they have any pride, they respond tonight. They have Calgary at home tonight.
Both teams on a back-to-back?
Yeah, this may be actually tomorrow's game. But the point being is Calgary-Columbus. It is tomorrow. But I want to add it today because you're getting plus money. Plus 198 for Columbus. They have to respond after being embarrassed last night. Furthermore, Johnny Gaudreau against his former team. You're getting plus 200, and Calgary hasn't been great. Yeah. Plus 200 at home against Calgary is good value. Off an embarrassment, and Johnny Gaudreau, I don't know if it's revenge season. He decided to leave. Columbus, get in on it now because I think that number is going to move down by puck drop tomorrow. There you go. All right? Save myself. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Leafs-Kings tonight, Jonas. What are we thinking?
It's funny you mentioned Matthews. I was going to write about Matthews after the game in Dallas. I didn't. I think he's starting to like heat up. Like we're starting to see kind of the guy we saw last year. Like he's not totally there yet, but that goal, like that's a goal he scored last year.
Yes,
and we haven't seen a ton of those goals this year.
He came down Broadway again later in that game and missed the net,
which we have seen more often.
A lot more out of him. So like, I agree with what you're seeing in that sense. But I remember seeing it in the third. I was like, Auston, man, you like he picks a corner all day when he's in the mood coming down Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he's down Broadway again with pace, like that's when he's most dangerous. When he's like doing a high curl or he's finding space in the slot and he's got some pace, look out. And I'm with you. I think he's coming alive.
Well, and not for the first time, but we're starting to see a dynamic where it's like, who do you match up with? Like if you're LA tonight, you're looking at those two lines, and you're like, man, like Marner's been like one of the best players in the league this last little while. Mm-hmm. How do we not use our top guys against him? But it's like, well, Matthews had 60 goals last year.
Yep.
You're starting to get that dynamic, which we haven't really had.
It's funny how the idea of them being line mates, like it's not even a conversation right now.
No, and it was a conversation before.
Right. It was like forever with Babcock, it was a daily conversation. When are you going to put them together? And he was reluctant to do that. And then last year, when they connected specifically with Bunting from about the 20 game on, they'd never separate.
They were the best line in the league.
Best line in the league, arguably. And now this year, it didn't take them long to move. And like eventually they'll get back together and they get back Maybe. Together within the game usually. Like Sometimes. The blender will come out. But it doesn't seem to be something anyone's actively seeking out right now.
This was Babcock's point. They can both be the juggernaut of their own line and that's kind of what's happening right now.
Yes. And what's interesting there is when Tavares came, it was Matthews Tavares is the 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it's not.
Really, it's Matthews Marner is the 1-2 punch. And if you have Tavares and Willie as bonus guys,
You're pretty
that's
good.
Pretty significant depth.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Jonas. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you. Good luck to your Raiders.
Yeah,
I'm sure
Raiders.
It'll turn out well.
I don't know. Laying 6.5 points on the road, short week. They're 5-7.
More picks: Bayfield or Baker or Carr.
Baker, if he goes.
Okay.
If Baker has to throw the ball more than 20 times tonight, at least one pick. That's a good prop.
Mm.
Baker interception prop on FanDuel. Find it. All right, Jonas. Good seeing you. There he is, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. I'm Brian Hayes. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. with the Lou Brown Awards. We'll chat then.